Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to make our way through this great season of the church year, this season of Lent and the wisdom the Lord wants to give us. And if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, you know we've been talking, ended the program yesterday, kind of taking some things from the catechism to help us understand the nature of the battle that we're facing in our own lives and how the work of the enemy, right from the beginning, right from the garden, deceived the human heart. And Adam and Eve, our first parents, let go of their trust in the Creator. And trust for God, the catechism says, is such, to me, one of the most sobering and sad paragraphs in the catechism that said, man tempted by the devil let his trust in his Creator die in his heart. He let trust die. He believed a lie about God. Adam believed a lie about God. Eve believed a lie about God. Is God trustworthy? Is God good? Is God powerful and good? Does God have my best interest in mind? And they believed the lie and said, no, he's hiding something from us. He's holding back his prerogatives, and we could have those prerogatives, but he's kind of deceiving us. I don't know if I can trust him. And boy, that just, the whole shebang came down at that point. And that same battle's in the human heart today. This is why human beings turn and are subject to so many things that they basically lay hold of and become idols in their life. That is, the things that define them, and it's their reason for being. It's their basic identity, because they've been fooled and deceived to believe that, no, I can only trust in me. And, you know, the catechism as well says, you know, that as a result, then man began to prefer himself to God. And I prefer myself to others and to God. And who can I trust in this world? I got to trust myself. And all I have is myself. All I have is my own feelings and desires and thoughts. And there's no one out there to be trusted. So I'm going to do, and I'm going to define reality the way I want to. And it looks and it feels like freedom. These days, I'm often thinking of the temptation of Jesus in the desert, where especially the one where the devil took Jesus to the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and he showed him the whole world, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, look at the glory of these kingdoms. He said, they're mine. All the pomp and the gold and the glory. And he said to Jesus, you can have this. I literally can give this to you, because he's the God of this world. I can keep you happy for a long time, keep you satisfied, keep you on top of the world. I can get everybody in this world to serve you, but you must obey me. You must bend down and worship me, is what the devil basically said to Jesus, right? You can have all this if you do that. And that same temptation, friends, and lies are present in the battle of every human heart living in a fallen world, a world of flesh and the devil, battling. And it's really clear that human beings, when we fail to acknowledge God and step out of his will, out of the light, we step into the darkness, even if we think we're stepping into the light of day. To turn our back on God, to define reality apart from God, is foolishness. It's total insanity. And it expresses itself eventually in very insane definitions of reality and worldviews and opinions and the rest. It's foolishness. But to turn our back on God, to turn away from his will, his light, is to necessarily step into darkness. The devil works hard to make it look like glitz and glamour and lights everywhere. And life's a fun house, and oh, I'm so happy, and we're all parading, and we're doing this, that, and the other thing. But that's the lie of a fallen world and a fallen kingdom. The devil will make the lights stay on and shine and glitter down a particular road filled with pleasure and sense of power and connection and everything, as long as you don't get serious about God's call and to become a disciple and to live as an alien and stranger in this world, but to enter into God's family and to become a servant of the Lord. The battles between those two kingdoms. And so we ended the program yesterday talking about one of the ways that that reality is unfolding and the church is helping us. And this is good discernment in a time like Lent when we lay hold of the spiritual battle a little bit more. He said, one of the great fights in our time, Pope Francis has put his finger on it in his document, Amoris Laetitia. He's talking about the gender ideologies that have emerged in the culture, and they're everywhere. And the government's pushing, everybody's pushing to get people to salute it and to accept it as reality. There's a collusion that's going on in the dark spirit and the dark kingdom. There's a moment here that the devil says, I'm going for the juggler. I'm taking down the family. I'm taking down marriage. I'm redefining human sexuality. I'm taking down the pillars and the foundation stones that God himself has established because I'm going to bring down his church. And that's what he's after. You bring down the family, you deconstruct human identity, you are going to make a major blow to the church, major blow. The gates of hell will never ultimately prevail, but there's something ultimate and epic about the battle that's unfolding. And so there's a shift that's been happening, and we described it from this wonderful document from Archbishop Carlson, he's now retired, called Compassion and Challenge, that he wrote for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, for the brothers and sisters there, to understand the nature of this struggle with ideology. It's very compassionate. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I ended yesterday's program where he said there's three fundamental pieces to this philosophy that's unfolding. Number one, feelings define our identity. How do you feel? How you feel is who you are. Number two, human integrity means acting on our persistent desires. I have to be true to myself. Number three, anyone who doesn't affirm my feelings, our feelings and actions, hates us. Number one, here's where he talks about looking at the whole area. I'll just kind of read what he says. I have my own thoughts, but I'll give you what's here. He said, feelings are part of us, but they do not define us. Thanks be to God, they don't. As creatures who are both fallen and graced, we feel a lot of things every day. Following Jesus requires letting our identity guide our feelings, not the other way around. We are first and foremost beloved sons and daughters of God. If we looked only to our feelings, we wouldn't know that. Feelings are shifting sands, even in adult lives, much less in the lives of children. It's even more radical there. If we let our feelings define us, we wouldn't have a stable identity at all. Number two, so that's one response to the whole reality of I am my feelings. This is my identity. Of course, Christianity understands, no, this is to even state that is to make a break from God, whether a person understands it or not, because your identity is given to you in creation, and it's a gift we receive. It's not a reality we define for ourselves. But then here's the temptation. Can that be trusted? Is that good? Does God have my best interest in mind? Who's behind all that? Isn't the church just anyway just a man-created, power-controlling, patriarchal kind of thing? Can't be trusted. God can't be trusted. He's a male creation anyways. All that kind of temptation and stuff in the culture happens. The second, human integrity means acting on our persistent desires. I have to be true to myself. Here's how he answers it. He said, human integrity requires us to sift our desires, not simply to follow our desires. That's a good principle of life. Sifting, discerning, weighing, not simply following. I may want a dozen things before breakfast. We all do. But acting on every desire will lead to personal and social disintegration, not integrity. The reason is simple. Our desires have many sources. Some of them are rooted in our identity as God's sons and daughters. Some are the result of original sin, our inherited fallen condition. Some come from our personal history of sin. Human experience tells us that following our desires sometimes helps us live well and sometimes leads us to trouble. Catholic theology simply places that experience against an eternal horizon. Acting on our desires sometimes keeps us moving toward heaven, and sometimes it does not. Desires are not self-authenticating. Whether or not they move us toward heaven is the criteria for making that decision. That is really well said. That's the mind of an apostle, and that's the mind of a disciple. That's the mind of Christ. Desires are not self-authenticating, but that's what's emerging in our culture. No, I have this desire. This is a strong desire. It's in me. It's who I am. If I don't respond to this desire, I can't be happy. I must do it. This is who I am. Now, again, the church knows you have the power to say that. I mean, none of us have the right to say that, but we have the power to. I mean, politics would say they have the right, but no one ultimately has the right to do something and to act against even their own good and to will the refusal to acknowledge God and God's way. Right? That's the disordered use of freedom. It leads to slavery. Ours is the freedom we have is freedom toward the good, to will the good. This is where the document goes on. Frankly, sin has to factor more deeply into the assessment of this human experience. For gender ideology, a feeling or desire is authentic and good if it is persistent, insistent, and consistent. If that's there, if a feeling is there in a persistent way, in an insistent way, in a consistent way, then that's my reality and that's true and should be followed. That's what the world is telling us. But any number of examples, it goes on to say, can tell us that sinful and unhelpful desires, desires and feelings that are contrary to our identity as God's children and lead us away from heaven, can be persistent, insistent, and consistent. The persistent existence of a desire is no proof that God makes us this way. Sin and its effects are just as real as God's designs and grace when it comes to analyzing our human experience. Gender ideology gives insufficient attention to the effects of the fall on human desire. We must give a more searching account. We must sift. Okay, the third area. Well, if you don't affirm my feelings and actions and celebrate them, you can only be motivated by a phobia, like a psychological problem or something that's deeply rooted in hatred. Those are the only options. So here's the answer. Disagreement is not hatred. Sometimes people object to our actions precisely because they love us. To love is to will the good of the other. If I love someone, then sometimes I need to speak out. Parents, coaches, teachers, brothers and sisters, and friends can respect our freedom even while saying, I don't think that's good for you. I don't see that bringing out the best in you. In the media, there's such a double standard that goes on too today. The media treatments of transgender issues are full of double standards. Two consecutive cover stories in Time magazine illustrate the very point, and he makes the point of how absolutely celebrating it on the one hand, they can do anything they want with their bodies, but at the same time, with other areas, like homosexuality, the body is everything. In some cases, the body is nothing. In some cases, the body is everything. And it's part of the confusion of the world. And the church teaches very clearly that the design of the cosmos, God's great, wonderful creation, and its glory is built right into the human person, body, soul, and spirit. It's right down in our chromosomes, right there, the created order. That's why we're going to be held responsible, friends, for if we respond to it in the right way or not. This is where Paul says, you know, God's very will and plan is revealed in creation. And today, there's a kind of Gnosticism, utopianism at work. There's a battle against the rejection of the body and the affirmation of feelings over and against the body, and the body has no language. We'll take this up tomorrow, but this is part of the spiritual battle we need to understand. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.